Hey, 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 friends. Welcome back to the Marjorie podcast. I am the girl who says what everyone is thinking, unapologetically myself, all the time. I used to see this as a problem, but now I see it as a gift. Vulnerability, connection, and embracing challenges are my favorite things. I'm here to help you push a little more, dig a little deeper, and see more possibility in your one beautiful life. Andy Rooney once said, "Everyone wants to live on top of the mountain, but all the happiness and growth occurs while you're climbing it." That is precisely what this podcast is about. Thanks for tuning in. Oh my goodness, friends. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I am excited to chat with you today. I have been thinking about my subscribers all morning. Just how cool it is that if we were together in real life, based on the fact that you choose to come and listen to this podcast, we probably have a lot in common. Maybe it's our motivation. Maybe it's personal growth. Maybe we love food. Maybe we're doing the Gina Livy program at the same time. Maybe you are in business and you like to drive yourself forward. Maybe you just are someone who likes to have a laugh. And I'm really good at laughing at myself and others. It's one of my greatest joys. So I was thinking about how cool it would be to know more of you in real life and how we all show up here for the same reason. We want to be inspired. We want to be encouraged. We want to be motivated. And we want to know that what we're going through is normal. This week, I tried to post a podcast for Wednesday morning. And I recorded it and I hated it. I was feeling like January blues. And I was doing the podcast because that's a commitment I have to put something out every week. And I didn't put it out because I didn't feel like it was an encouragement at all. And as much as I want all of us to authentically show up how we are, where we are, regardless, I just didn't want to bring you down. I felt negative. And I think that was sensed. It was like I was preaching at you out of my annoyance, which was like sort of like preaching at myself. Because I'm always coming to you from a place of, this is the thing I'm working on. This is how I'm going through it. Maybe you're working on it too. Let's talk about it. So it's kind of funny. So I realize lots of you were saying like, you know, this last month and week was really long. January felt really, really long. And now I'm already like, oh my gosh, it's already February. Spring's around the corner. Everything's good. Everything's exciting. And yet in the midst of that, we have grumpy days. We have real life, right? Driving all over town this morning, couldn't find a coffee shop, couldn't find a place to get Wi-Fi. I am sitting in front of Original Joe's, bless their hearts for having open internet. But I dare not go in because I would eat a whole plate of dry ribs, I think, if I went in right now. But that's life, right? And trying to better ourselves, trying to be vulnerable, trying to look deep, trying to live our best life, raise good kids, have a healthy marriage, do well and keep achieving in our work. Like all of these things are not always the most fun. And something I want to talk about today, I want to talk about consistency, but I want to talk about busyness as well. But what I want to talk about with consistency is that is my word for this year. And I am a month into the year like you, and there is just nothing cool, nothing motivating, nothing exciting, nothing sexy about consistency. I am someone who loves to, like, I spruce up my lunch on a Tuesday because I love pomp and circumstance. I love, is that what you have at New Year's? What's pomp and circumstance? I forget. But I'm the hype girl. Like, that's what I am in my business, in the companies I work for. That's what I am when I lead people. I will find you a tangible way to do something you want to do to accomplish your goal, your dream, drive revenue, whatever it is. I will keep it exciting. I will keep it fresh. I'm the hype girl. But what I learned in the last month is there's nothing hyped up about consistency. Consistency, if I think of it like, I'm trying to look at it like a state to be in, or consistency, developing consistency and then having that be my way of life. I always think about Hawaiians and they're always like, it's aloha. It just kind of is. And that's what I want my consistency to be. But Even aloha sounds more exciting than consistency. And so some of my things were, I'm going to consistently eat on this Gina Livy plan because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel low stress. It makes me feel well. It's not demonizing foods. It's creating room if I decide to eat chips for breakfast. It's creating space. It's giving me tons of vegetables. It's holding me accountable. It's beautiful. That's one of my things I want to stay consistent on. I want to stay consistent on teaching my kids discipline. What a discipline's look. And I don't mean discipline like I'm going to spank you. I mean like discipline as in committing to something, doing it every day because you know it's what creates the best version of you. So brushing your teeth helps you keep your teeth, right? Drinking your water hydrates your cells. Eating vegetables fuels your body. Eating good proteins fuels your body. That sort of thing. So we teaching my kids that we do these things to put stuff. Oh my gosh, there's a man outside of my car yelling, like, pipe down. Seriously. That's a good lesson for me too, because I'm ridiculously loud. But yeah, so what we consistently do produces results. That's what I want my kids to understand. And it was really cool this week. I had a son home with a runny nose, and I was looking at his social studies homework with him, and I was horrified by how much they are basically telling these kids, like, okay, listen, we all screwed up the planet real bad. It's your job to fix it. The guilt, there was like guilt, there was shame in there. There was not just like, here's what you can do. Here are some tangible things you could do, which is definitely what we should be telling kids and people in general. But it was putting the pressure of climate change, as they would call it, on our kids. And that was really frustrating to me. But super cool self-discipline. My kids read their Bible every day and do their devotions. And my son said to me, we were talking about how you can't believe everything the media tells you. You can't believe what the news tells you. You can't believe what the government tells you. You have to filter that through and critically think. And my son said, Mom, look at this. And the Bible verse was, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And basically after that, like, read the Bible, pray about it, and test what is true, and God will show you. And it was just so cool. But if he doesn't have that practice, putting something into his life, he might have been overwhelmed by what the world tells him. Overwhelmed and taking on that responsibility like it's his job to fix. None of us are meant to carry the weight of the world in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's, you know, someone's disease, it's aging parents, it's raising kids, it's all of the things. And we're not meant to, we don't carry weight of the world well. We don't handle stress well. It is hard physically on our bodies and our minds. And so these consistencies form habits and make things easier. One of my things I implemented after reading The Power of Habit, such a good book, was I have a little bit of a morning routine, a tiny routine, but even when I sit up, I don't snooze my alarm. I sit up, I do some stretches. I put my legs down on the floor. I do stretches on the edge of my bed. I get up, I brush my teeth, which I hate doing. I don't know why I hate doing it. I just want to drink coffee and have morning breath. Don't know why I hate it. I don't want peppermint to be the first thing I put in my mouth in the morning. I don't know what that's about for me, but it's a really tough sell. But today I slept a little later. I'm recording on a Saturday, and guess what? All of a sudden it's like 11 o'clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't brush my teeth this morning. How gross and how funny is that? Because I missed my morning routine. I didn't do any of my normal things. So all of a sudden I'm not as successful because I didn't follow that morning routine. So the whole goal within The Power of Habit is it is so routine that you don't have to think about it. It's just what you do. It's just part of your life. And then even if you have a brain injury, your brain will want to go on a habit loop. So it's a really, really good read. You should definitely check that book out. So consistency, I'm also lifting weights, light weights, and it's creating ongoing change. But what I've realized is my own desire for like a mini high. I go in the ocean because it gives me this feeling, this exhilaration. It gives me this feeling. And I love to do like 45 minutes of kickboxing because it feels exciting. It feels hard. It feels challenging. And I don't like easy stuff. I have a deep rub, I would say, internally against anything that's easy. I question it. So when I'm doing these lightweights, I'm like, is this really doing something? It feels like it's not doing anything. But after a month of doing Pilates a couple times a week, yeah, it is doing something. And yet in those moves, I am moving, I'm certain, such small tendons and ligaments that I'm like, is this doing anything? Probably not. But all of a sudden, after a month, guess what? I can hold that pose way better. I can do that move way more powerfully. And it's really cool learning to embrace small elements of progress and change, and learning to like make that find excitement and joy in steady progress. Because it's really, we have to change our mindsets around it. And so I don't know what your word of the year is, but I will call you back to check in. Always in coaching, in business, we need to be checking in monthly and evaluating. Okay, based on what I decided I was going to do for this month of January, what did I do and what did I not do? I know for myself, I got an injury in my wrist, which, by the way, the ocean completely healed, which is crazy to me. I went in, I'd been icing it, I'd been having issues with it. I Googled it. It's my ulna. It was like near the ulna bone, which I kind of thought was a cool word. And I iced it. I did all these things. And then I thought I should put my hand in the water because I do not put my phalanges in the water. It does not feel good when the water is 5 degrees. But I put my hands in and I was in for 5 minutes and I got out and like I couldn't even cut an apple. My wrist hurt so bad. I got out and it was like gone. I do not know what that water is triggering in my nervous system or what is happening, because I'd iced that wrist several times and it didn't do anything. And going in that water, I came out and it was good as new. Talk about weird. Praise God. Thank you for the healing waters of the ocean. Thank you for how we have opportunities to make change in our body by doing hard things. Thank you, God, for that, because that is so stinking cool. So that's what I wanted to say about consistency, is we need to teach ourselves and recognize our natural pull towards something, like my natural pull towards exciting things and not consistent things. And it's different. If I'm like, if that's not my word for the year, if that's not what I committed with a sober mind to work on, then whatever. But I committed to engaging and choosing and learning from the word consistency this year. And so after I'd hurt my wrist, I didn't want to trigger it by doing Pilates. I didn't want to do my weights for a little bit because I didn't want to mess this wrist up. But all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so end of January, your wrist is better. It's been better for about a week now. It's time to go back to those consistent practices of strength training that you committed to, because you know there is power in that progress. So keeping your mind focused and deciding that that's what you're going to do. So I wanted to encourage you to check in on your word for the year. Check in on, you know, where you're at, what's going on, and what are you putting in? Like I said, what are you putting in? What are your practices that you're putting into your life? Where are you allowing God to speak to you? Where are you getting quiet? That's probably the biggest game changer in my life, is spending time with God in the morning. Revolutionarily, is that a word? I don't even know if that's a word, but it's changed my entire life. And I did it when I was, I want to say, young and in my 20s. I would do it on the bus, but then I stopped after I had kids, and then, which is crazy because it's just because I was so tired. But then I went back to spending time every day, committed every morning since like 2014. And absolutely, that has changed all my relationships and who I show up as in business. It's changed my patience. It's increased my compassion. And it's a really good check-in every day to allow God to speak and not make it hard for him to send you a message. Okay, moving on to busyness. So last week when I was going for an ocean dip, I saw this woman and she was running down to the beach and she looked frantic. And I was, you know, walking down in my towel, whatever. And I get down and she's kind of looks like she's pacing back and forth on the beach. And I was like, are you okay? Is everything okay? And she was like, oh, I'm just here to take a picture. But like, you should have seen her. It was so interesting to me. And it made me wonder how I rush and run to all the things in life with a panicked look on my face. Even something as beautiful and pleasurable as taking a photo of the beach. I genuinely felt her panic. And when I learned it was all to take a photo, I was shocked. But I think the cool thing about it was it made me ask myself, wow, I move really fast. Where am I and how often am I not enjoying the simplicity of the moment? And this week had been, like I said, I couldn't get positive to record an episode. I was struggling a little bit. And when I sat and thought about all of the good things in my life, everything, I hate the word gratitude. I don't know why I feel allergic to it. But when I sat and thought about all the wonderful things in my life, which is truly practicing gratitude, I was so overcome by the goodness. I wasn't overcome by the fact that it's January and everything's kind of cold and not my favorite. And, you know, your hair, your skin gets dry, your clothes get staticky, stuff like that just could irk me to no end. But when I sat and thought about all the wonderful things in my life, I was like, wow, I need to stop. And that's that practice of gratitude, right? Like stopping in the evenings, we always go through when we tuck our kids in, they share a room and we each lay in one's bed and we switch each night. And it's become like this like chatting time, which is so funny. And we'll be like, what's the best part of your day? And my one son is like, he'll list like 15 things. Like Colston, oh, he just sees great things and he's excited about all of it. So cute. My other one's like, I don't know what was good. But you have to pick something. Like you have to find something that was good. And I've been there too. Like we say the best part of our day too. And I'll be like, the best part of today is that it's over. Right? And we can all get like that. But it's been something that we talk about before we say our prayers. And it's also helped remind us what we need to pray for. Right? Like if today was really tough, it's like, thank you, God, that we got through this day and that we still love each other. We are still in this room together. We are still under cozy blankets, you know, but it's just really tough sometimes. And I've been feeling that in the winter and I am proactive. Like I would encourage and tell all of you, you have to get proactive about increasing your joy in tough times of year, because May will come and the sun will be out and you'll meet a friend after work for like a beer, or you'll meet a friend for like a walk, and everything just feels different. It is a different vibe in those months than it is in January and February and March. And so what can you proactively do today to create some of that joy? So watch this girl walking down to the beach full of panic. Made me ask myself, how am I running? How frantic do I look? And have I slowed down to experience what is happening around me? And if I'm honest, I like to run. I like running. I've recognized in the last years that I like being scattered. I don't know. I like to be on the edge of late. I would say I like to flirt with lateness. It makes me feel dangerous or rebellious, which is, it truly is, because it makes my husband want to kill me. And I've worked on it a little bit more, but it's 2023 and we are definitely back in full swing, which I would say feels really good to me. But we have to remember, we said we would not let full swing back in. And we all have lots of things the pandemic left us with. And we are all happy to see faces, give hugs. And the plexiglass came down at Costco and I was like, it's about frickin' time. I can't even explain the joy some of those simple things give me. But when 2020 came, I was excited for a reset. I'm not talking about the Great Reset, but you should Google that if you haven't, because it will blow your ever-loving mind. But I was excited for the initial cancellations, being home, hiking, slow Sundays, games nights, family time. But through the course of the pandemic, that lost its luster. We missed parties, people, gatherings, church. Oh, I missed church, especially in this province. And I had moved to BC. I'd moved about a year and 3 months, but my family didn't come until I'd been here for 6 months. So we were in our new house for about 6 months when the pandemic hit. And it became like, I loved that initial reset, but then I realized that what I've grown up in and what you live in and what we exist in is a culture of busy. And when I get stressed emotionally, I cook. So if I'm emotionally stressed, like, you won't find me on the couch. I can't sit down with you. I am only going to make more muffins. I am only going to make homemade hummus. I am only going to make some overnight oats. Like, I'm just going to be over here in the kitchen being productive. That is literally where I hide if I'm, like, really struggling. Or if I can't connect with the people around me because I don't want to connect with them, I hide in the kitchen. Now everyone knows my secret. If you're at my house, and I do also just like cooking for people, so that can be, it's a double-edged sword, right? It's like your favorite thing, but it can also be a dangerous thing that pulls from connection. So I think every culture has their idols. And in true definition, like, idols steal your time, your heart, your attention, your devotion, and your connection to people that you love. You focus on those things when you should be focusing on the person, the situation, whatever. But for me, idols are anything that, any place that I find salvation or worth outside of God. Idols pull us from God. Idols distract us. So I realize you're probably not used to the word idols. I was at church on Sunday and the whole sermon was about setting up idols in your hearts. And idolatry is not just an external act. It's an internal attitude. It's like a shifting of yourself towards something. You know, when they talk about body language, how when you're pulled towards something, you physically, you know, move your shoulders in, you physically turn your hips toward that thing, you square yourself towards it. And your idols might seem strange to me. My idols might seem strange to you. When I was, you know, listening to the sermon, I wrote out that my idols were definitely food. I kind of thought about, like, what do I think about all the time? I think about food. I think about growing myself in business. I'm always kind of mad at myself still that I don't run my own business because, yeah, I love running other people's businesses. I love the dynamics of large and medium and small organizations. Like, I love everything, but I love so many things about business. But sometimes I'm mad that I don't run my own business. But I would say I think a lot about business. I think a lot about helping people grow. Now, these things aren't bad, but when these things become, like, when I say food, when it becomes that I'm hiding in my kitchen because I can't deal with my problems or deal with my situation, I'm coping, I'm using these things to cope, then it's a distraction from what really matters. And I would say, like, there's all these things about telling kids, like, the dangers of devices. What adults are listening to what we tell kids? Frick. This fires me up. And this was partly why I recorded an episode earlier this week and didn't put it out, because I'm like, we tell kids, like, drink your water, eat your vegetables, give your body what it needs, and then, you know, turn those screens off. And like, I have my kids, I have the internet set. They only have access to any sort of messenger or whatever from like 2:30 till 5:30 p.m. every day. And why isn't mine set up the same? Why aren't we doing the same things? And we are their leaders. We are the people they look to. We are the example for them. And so what you see is this thing you grab all the time, this phone, this is an addiction. This is pulling from connection. If I look at my husband and he's like checking tweets, I literally think to myself, oh, I don't want to interrupt him. It's not that important. But pretty soon you don't engage the same way that you used to. So definitely I would say the phone. The phone is an idol of our culture. Busyness is an idol of our culture. And I always mock, now I need to say this with a disclaimer, because I am so thankful that we have people that volunteer, and I volunteer too, to like help our kids and our sports teams, and I run the music and I have killer music, okay? And occasionally the clock, which makes me have anxiety because of penalty minutes, and it can get all very convoluted. But I always mock the hockey managers, because in a busy culture, the best manager is the one finding all the opportunities to get these kids on the ice. And I always joke because I'm always like, well, you know, we saw an opportunity to get some ice time, so we really wanted to take it. So it's kind of a funny joke in our house. But, and I am very thankful for the work that people put in to have our kids in recreational sports, for sure. I really am. But I think what I mean by that is we pull each other. So if I showed up and decided to be the manager of the hockey team, I would have a desire. I would know what I want my boundary to be or how much we do something. I know what I would want to do. But I would be pulled by the fact that I think we're supposed to just do as much as possible, as much as possible, as much as possible. And we do this everywhere. It's like when they opened, like I work in insurance. And I remember when TD Insurance opened till 8 o'clock at night. And then they opened Saturdays. And then they opened Sundays. They're like, I want people to more is better. More wasn't better. More wasn't better for the consumer, and it wasn't better. Like, now people are doing their insurance on a Sunday. They should be resting. They should be hanging out with their family, reading a book, having a nap. Like, more isn't actually better. And so our culture, not prioritizes, but our culture values busyness. And if you don't have purpose, what are you even doing? Right? And so we need to find a happy medium, because we do need lives of purpose, but we need to be hesitant of being pulled into the culture's busyness, because it's not good for our blood pressure. It's not good for our relationships. It pulls us away from each other. And we need to turn to God to fill the emptiness in our lives. We look to stuff to satisfy us in only a way that God can. And, you know, we're 2023, we're back to the noise, the busyness. We tasted stillness, and boy, did it taste good. And so that's where it's that we need to make stillness a practice in our lives. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, those who are weary, and find rest for your souls. You know, for me, coming down from busyness is really hard. Not being busy feels unnatural to me. And how can I embrace the unbusy and beautiful? Like, how can I embrace that as a lifestyle? But I need to pray for God to show me the good in this and help me to work it out. I need to create new pathways in my brain where old grooves existed. I need those to fill in with dirt. I need the old ways I did stuff I need to rewrite that script. And what does a non-busy life have time for? What does that true space create in our lives? And how do we step into that and stay into it when it's not sexy, but it is consistent? How do we stay in that until that feels normal, until that is our new normal? So we need healing from this aspect of our culture, and we need to critically think all the time about when we feel pulled to something, like, is this a good thing to let myself be pulled to? Because we are still in control. We just think we're not. So we need to step away from the idol of busyness. We need to embrace consistency, and we need to find rest and satisfaction in God. My healthiest practices, it's funny because I'm a Christian, but a lot of religions, I want to say, and I don't look at Christianity as a religion. I look at it as a relationship with God. But a lot of religions prioritize stillness, quiet, and we, in our world, we don't want to be left with our thoughts, almost, is how it appears. So my healthiest practices are fasting and praying, staying quiet and relaxing on Sundays, really taking the Sabbath, keeping it as a day of rest, acknowledging what's going on in the world around me, and then not submitting to it. Praying that I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and that I will test everything and ask God about everything. So I hope this feels encouraging to you today. I love talking to you. I felt so excited. I couldn't open my Google Drive, and I couldn't make it work. And I was driving around town trying to get internet while my son is at hockey. But it's good. Even the process of driving around, more things came into my head. And I thought, I want to tell these listeners that I am so thankful that they showed up today. I am so thankful that because of these conversations, whether I have them with Lindsay, who will be back by the way, but whether I have them with Lindsay or someone I'm interviewing, that you can show up and leave and be like, yeah, consistency is not cool and it's not fun, but it's a worthy practice. And yeah, this world has made busyness an idol. So I've got to filter things and I've got to be cautious of what I let in. And I need to protect the most beautiful things. Like, I truly believe my call in life is to love God and love people. And when I get into too much of all my to-dos, and then I just want to hide in the kitchen, then I'm not loving God or loving people. But don't get me wrong, you're still going to find me in the kitchen lots of times. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. You got to weigh everything out. Right? But, and I do hope that when you think about the things we tell kids, whether you have kids or not, when you think about those things we tell them about healthy ways to live your life, I hope you're living your life that way. I hope that on Sunday, when your Apple phone or your iPhone gives you an update on the number of hours you spent on it, I hope it's a low number. I hope every Sunday you're like, yes, a little bit less screen time and a little bit more real life. Because this week noticed really quickly, especially if you're in the awake, not the woke culture, but if you're awake to what's going on with the World Economic Forum or the Canadian government and some of the stuff that's happening. Like, I found out that 12-year-olds, the Liberal government was trying to make it so that they could do the assisted suicide, and I just wanted to die. And that crushed me for like a couple days. But guess what? If I'm not on my phone, ignorance is bliss in a lot of ways, in all honesty, but I don't need to know what's happening all over the world all the time, because it does not add a minute to my life. And it actually steals the joy from the current moments. So be so careful of what you let in. Your role in your marriage, in your motherhood, in your friendships, in your business needs a person who is joyful and checked in. And sometimes that means checking out of some of that other garbage that's out there. So I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so glad that in real life, I bet we'd hang out and have the best time together. And I'm thankful for you. Send me a DM if this episode resonated with you, and have the best week. Take care, my friends. Well, that was fun. I hope that you are feeling more energized, more inspired, and more joyful. Please rate and review and share this podcast with a friend who you think needs to hear it. Go be what you wish to see more of in this world, and have a great day.